We're going to look at Acts chapter 26. Certainly our hearts are very full after such a rich weekend in God's Word, God doing so many great things, moving in the hearts of people. It was spectacular. But spectacular because it drew me closer to God. It was spectacular because it enriched my relationship with God. It helped me to be freer to enjoy the relationship with God. And so this morning what I wanted to briefly speak about was a subject entitled, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And in Acts 26, verse 18, there's a wonderful record. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is Jesus talking to Paul. You can read it in the context. He's exhorting Paul, giving Paul a charge. Rise up, Paul, stand upon your feet. I have appeared unto you for a purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of all those of those things in which, the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And that purpose is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And you know what? Just because you don't have the abbreviation REV period in front of your name, that doesn't mean you're not a minister. You are a minister. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this administration, the grace of God superabounds to every person who is born again, completely, fully, 100%. You have a dynamic and a very special purpose in this ministry of the one body of Christ. Thankful you're here with us today, but your life expands way beyond this room. And your sphere of influence, I don't know if you've ever done this, is just write down every person's name who your life has touched or continues to touch on a daily basis. You'd be really, really surprised. It can go into the hundreds. And not just the people here, people you work with, your parents, your cousins, your aunts, your this, your that. Many, 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 many people your lives touch. In the translation that Jan did. Verse 18 says, that you should open their eyes so that they will turn from darkness to the light and from the authority of Satan to God, and they will receive forgiveness of sins and a portion with the holy ones by faith that is in me. We're looking to build the family. We want more children. Okay? We want a big old family. Lots of kids. God does. And what a great joy and privilege it is to be able to do that. But to do that and to walk, we need the eyes of our understanding enlightened. And as we progress here this morning, I think our heart's cry and desire is to open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I can see what the heck is going on. Because I can see with the five senses. But really there's a spiritual eyes and an understanding that only God can really truly give. And that's what we really need to have to be successful. See? Because there are a lot of voices and a lot of information and a lot of technology and a lot of things coming at us. We need our spiritual eyes to be able to walk spiritually minded. Look in Lamentations chapter 3, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. There's been some talk this morning about God's faithfulness, how faithful the Word is, how faithful God is, how faithful we are, we can be. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions, they don't fail. They are new or fresh every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Take a deep breath. Every day, you start all over again. We aren't consumed. Whatever failures, whatever mistakes, whatever shortcomings, whatever things have fallen beyond your level of expectation, which I'm sure are many, at the beginning of a new day, they're all new. It's a clean slate. Those mercies are new every day. And you know, I want to explain something here briefly about the difference between grace and mercy. You see, grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. See, it's by God's grace that we are empowered to really live the vision of what God has in store for us. We heard a lot about vision throughout this last weekend. And at other times we hear about, you know, the great vision. But what is it that's going to enable us to actually practically live out the vision that we see and have such a great desire to do? It's only going to be by God's grace. It's not going to be by our fleshly ability and talent and great personality. You know, our sense of humor is only going to take us so far. You know, God's grace, God's ability just to empower us and strengthen us beyond our human ability. That's what God has placed within each and every one of us. See. Look in Romans chapter 6. Some of these verses you are familiar with. Romans chapter 6. It kind of comes on the heels, obviously, of chapter 5. In verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. Much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." What shall we say then in light of that? Shall we continue to miss the mark that grace may abound? Do we want to prove to God that we understand His grace so much that we're just going to go out and live like whatever we want to live anyway? Because, hey, it is grace, you know. See, is that not what this may be reminding us of? That actually, you know what, there's a new way to live. See. Do we continue to miss the mark? To walk according to the old nature that grace may abound? Well, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. What? Newness of life. When Christ died, you died. Christ is buried. You were buried. When Christ arose, you arose. When Christ ascended, you ascended. That is what identification is. We are fully identified in the finished, completed work of Jesus Christ. But it goes on, and it says, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. New life. Every day. New start. New beginning. God can work with us because God has extended His grace to us, especially now in living color in this administration. And so we walk, but we walk in God's power, His strength, His might, His mercy. See, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, that's great to remember that grace is receiving what we don't deserve. But mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. See? God has reached down and touched each and every one of our lives through His great love and grace. And when we understand that, you know what? We don't have a problem forgiving. Because we understand what God forgave us for. You know? If I have an issue with another person, all I have to do is remember what God forgave me for. And the other, I don't have any problem extending the compassion of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the love of God, the desire. It's so much easier for me to just say, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm never going to say that to them.
By God, if they want to say they're sorry to me and, you know, make it right, then by God, that's up to them. Hey, you know what? These are truly attitudes that sometimes come up with people, see? But can we be the greater lover, the one who's going to extend the love of God, be the first one to do it, see? We talk about the compassion of Christ, the love of God, but what does that translate into in day-by-day living? See? That's the real unique part of this whole lifestyle. It's not knowing all the correct, proper doctrines of the Word. It's let my life tell the story of what I really understand and know from the Bible. See, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one that should walk with me than merely show the way. See, it's awesome. Here we are, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul came to a great awareness in his life and in his ministry that he was where he was because of the grace of God. I am where I am, who I am, what I am, and my purposes are fulfilled in this life because of the grace of God. God's divine favor placed upon you, upon me, and you can't do anything to earn it. It's just there. See? So maybe the opening of our eyes and the opening of the eyes of my heart, Lord, is that we understand more of the grace and the strengthening and the power that comes to us so freely. See, we're co-conditioned to work for everything. Because you don't get a paycheck unless you go to work. See? But God wants to give. I used to love Ashish when he would come in and tell those little stories, you know, about things he would get for free. You know, well, God just gave it to me for free. You know, I just asked God about it and He gave it to me for free. I didn't do anything, you know. And that's so cool. That's really so humble that he has this recognition that God just loves to give people things. See, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Because we want to be those receptacles, you know, where we're not trying so hard to prove our self-worth to ourselves or anybody else, that we are open to receiving from God and recognizing that it's coming from God. See? Coming from God. It's really something. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all are, all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through those things that he endured. You know, it's amazing that Jesus Christ put himself in that situation to sacrifice himself, it says here, by the grace of God. See, remember when he was growing up? There's a great section in the Gospels where it talks about he grew up in stature and in the grace of God. He understood. See, God was working with him, teaching him, helping him to understand, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about what God is able to do with me in helping me to accomplish that which he would like for me to, for me to see to do, or God would like to, for me to do understanding. See? Oh, it's so amazing. So amazing. So I've asked Fred, it's a really kind of a cool song. We're not going to play the whole thing, but it's a song some of you are familiar with, sometimes used in praise services, whatever. It's called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. So we'll just play a little bit of it, but it's a really, it's a catchy tune, and I think you'll like it. Song, man, because it's just like that's what you want to be singing in your life. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to understand you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to be like you. That's the heart of Christ in you. That's the desire of Christ. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. He hungered to do the will of the Father. See? Christ is in you. That desire is your desire. We hunger after the things of God. And you know what? We won't be completely satisfied until we get there. You know, maybe in the big picture, that won't happen until the return. But how about now? Don't you like to get satisfied when you go out for a meal? You get a meal, it's like, ugh. I'd never eat there again. Service is great. Meal's horrible. Never go back. We want to eat and be satisfied and be nourished, see, by what God has in store for us. And so, I want to just give a couple of little things going here, maybe a couple of little ways to put ourselves in a position to understand more about God, to open the eyes of our heart, Lord. And if you look in Psalm 119, I think David's just such a great example of somebody who craved the great understanding of who God was. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Help me. Guide me. Lead me. Direct me. You know what? If you don't have a great hunger for the things of God, you can ask God for a greater hunger. See? You can ask God for anything. You know, it's like, well, I don't really care so much about that. Well, then we can ask God, help me have a greater hunger, because you know it's a good thing. See? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, I'm not hungry right now. Well, pray for hunger, you know? Psalm 119. And most of us have very unique diets, things we like. We're very specific. We like this and that and low-fat this and blah, blah, blah. We only can eat certain things. The Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, and nothing but the Word, right? Amen. The Word comes in all, it's better than Baskin-Robbins. It comes in all sorts of different flavors. I mean, there are cool things. The Oriental culture, figures of speech, animals in the Bible. I mean, 1,000,000,000 different ways that you can approach your understanding and learning about what God's trying to teach you. So you just have to expand your dietary spiritual habits. See? Not just all, you know, oh, man, this is really fun. Ha ha. No, will you make it invigorating? You know, it's better than the best Italian meal you could have at the best Italian restaurant for you Italians. And there's a few in here. See, we get excited about that. See, can we not put that same sort of heart and attitude into God's ability to teach us something from the Word that God would have us to understand and to know? We don't even know what that is. Aha. Well, God, teach me what you would have me to know then, rather than me trying to have to figure out what it is you're trying to teach me or what I should be trying to learn. See? It's a partnership. It's a relationship. See? And for those of you who are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because the way you get to know the person you're married to is not just by living with them. It's conversing. It's understanding, and it's an ongoing process, right? I mean, you may learn things about somebody that you've been married to for 20 years, and you're like, I never knew that about you. I mean, it happens all the time. I hear people saying that. Anyway, Psalm 119, 18. Ah. And Psalm 119 is great, man. It's just a great testimony of David's heart just opening before God like a flower. It's just like, oh. And David was not perfect, believe me. You know him. Old David, the adulterer. Yeah. He had the eye for the women. You know, saw the lady bathing down there. And when people bathe, they don't have clothes on. Do you know that? So he, like, sort of got lured into this lustful type of situation. And then it evolved from there. And some not-so-good things happened. But you know what? God worked with him. God forgave him. He moved on. He was able to forgive himself of that that situation where he basically had the guy set up and was killed. Now, I don't know all of you in this room that well, but many of you probably haven't been in that situation where you've actually arranged a hitman to, like, take somebody out. Okay, but don't raise your hand, all right? I don't want to know, okay? Some of you New Yorkers, I don't know.
I don't know. I Now, Mike used to say, I'll just have Uncle Vinny come out here. He'll take care of him. Break his legs or something. Like, whatever, Mike. Anyway, back to the word here. Psalm 119, 18, it says, what? Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's like a heart's request, a prayer to God. Open my eyes, God, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, man, you could just go on. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. What a such a longing in my heart and life to just know and to understand. You know, many times people don't even know when they're experiencing hunger spiritually. You know, many times people don't even understand when they're experiencing hunger physically. And so they eat all sorts of things they shouldn't be eating because they're trying to satisfy a craving that they have when the reality is they're thirsty. Do you know that? Because I've done it. See? Man, Snickers bar. And then you want some this and that. The reality is, you're thirsty. You know what? Sometimes we don't even know how hungry we are spiritually until you put yourself in that environment to just taste, and see that the Lord is good. You're like, this ain't bad. Why haven't I done this before? Well, don't matter. New day. God's mercies are new every day. Wow, where were we? Psalm 119, 130. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love this one. I don't know if I actually teach or just preach. Maybe it's a combination of both. But anyway. Oh, yeah. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words gives what? Light. When you sit down and expose your brain to this, it's like a beacon of light coming in your brain cells. And it says it gives understanding. Raise your hand to the simple. Okay? That's us. As complex and as complicated and as whatever you think you are, you're simple. We all are. The entrance of the word gives, it just floods you with light and it gives understanding to the simple. Oh, verse 131, look at this. Oh, I opened my mouth and I panted. For I long for thy commandments. Oh, God, how I just want to so know you. That's not like hunger. Thirst. Hunger and thirst, they kind of go together. See, I panted for you. I desired. And see, sometimes we have that inner craving for spiritual food, but yet we never get there. Because the enemy's main goal in life is to keep you from the word. And actually, in many cases, it's quite successful. That's why we have to really fight to get to the word. Because we know it is our spiritual food, right? Matter of fact, I think the devil's had a conversation with Jesus about this. And I think Jesus responded to him something like this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember that? That's a great clue there. See? The entrance of thy words gives light, gives understanding unto the simple. Oh my gosh, I opened my mouth, I panted, I longed for thy commandments more than the best Italian food in the world, even New York or Italy. Or wherever it is you go. You know what? So we prepare our heart to do what? Seek Him. Seek Him, number one.
And then number two, talk to him. You prepare your heart and then you converse. You don't have to argue. Well, I guess you could. Just you and God, whatever, figuring it out. But then you talk to him, you prepare your heart, you seek him, and then you talk to him. And then you listen. That's a big part of a conversation. It's not all about you, just blah, 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 blah. Doing all the talking, you know. We're very good at that. But, and we teach kids this all the time. Remember? Listen. Do what? Remember. And what? Obey. Listen, remember, obey. You want to go to God, talk to God about something, God shows you something. The next step is to obey. Is to actually do it. See? Actually do it. In Isaiah chapter 58. I've been kind of stuck on this section of the Word this week, reading it over and over again a little bit. Maybe we'll just kind of tidy things up here a little bit this morning. I know you guys all want to get out and have lunch because you're all hungry, but what? Yeah, exactly. Isaiah 58. This is an interesting record about fasting. But there's such a thing as a spiritual fast, too. And I thought the correlation was really interesting in light of what we've recently been studying about, you know, healing the brokenhearted, bringing deliverance to the captives, opening the sight of the blind. Freely have you received, freely give. Get out there, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal lepers, whatever it is. Verse 5, Isaiah 58 says, Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Oh, it looks so religious, so pious. Or is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? And to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call or knock, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Verse 11, And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, a source of water, whose waters don't fail. That's the true fast of the Lord, that we are the messengers. We're bringing the deliverance. We're bringing the healing. We're bringing the hope. We're bringing the love of God. Remember, God has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. And yes, these are the proving hours. See? And for us to live and to walk and to embrace the relationship with God because of His great grace and mercy in our lives. So Lord, this is what I say. Awaken our spiritual eyes so that we can see more clearly, so that we may see the invisible, and then be able to do the impossible. It's a requirement for us to be able to see spiritually and then live in the realm of the miraculous, to do the impossible. See, we don't do it from the flesh. We do it with the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. See? And He's given us the ability to do miraculous things, but only when He's leading and guiding us. I'd like to pray, Father God, thank you for this great word, who you've made us to become and be, Father, that we can be so inspired to rise up, to develop a great hunger and a great thirst to feast upon spiritual matters. And I just don't think there's any greater joy that you would have than to see your children walking in truth, Father. To have the greatest hunger to walk with you, to love you, to serve you, to just have the desire to be spiritual men and women. And honestly, in some respects, Father, I think it's probably way simpler than we've made it out to be. Thank you for the energy and the strength just to walk forth boldly in the power and the dynamic ability that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.